And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. As always, I am Jim, I am your host. Happy Thanksgiving. Damn, it's Thanksgiving week already. Whew! I hope everybody has had a great year so far. We're not slowing down anytime soon. It's Thanksgiving week, we're going to have our episode today, we'll have another episode tomorrow, and then right through the holidays, we will have an episode every week. This week is a big one for me. We have Shane Smith here from Shane Smith and the Saints. This is an interview I've wanted all year, and I am so thankful to have had Shane on the show. A big thanks to our friends over at Off the Rails for helping us make this happen, and to his whole crew. The day of the show, you know, the hospitality was absolutely amazing. So thank you guys so much. As you know by now, Shane has been on Yellowstone, him and the boys. They were featured last season in season 4. Early on, one of the episodes was titled All I See Is You. So that song was used in that episode. And they were shouted out at the end of the episode, famously now as Shane Smith in the fucking Saints. Love it. And then now, if you're watching Yellowstone season 5, you saw that the whole band was in episode 1 of season 5, playing in that scene there that they're in. I don't want to give too much away if you haven't seen the episode yet or anything like that, or you don't watch Yellowstone. I would expect you to go back and watch every episode from season 1 to now, if you haven't. It's one of those shows where, you know, we don't, here in this house, we don't miss a week. It's been, you know, it's been huge for us. We love it. So it's a treat for us to have Shane here on the show. We do talk a little bit about Yellowstone and all that. Obviously, you know, it's huge for them. So thank you, Shane, for being on. Thank you everybody for tuning in. And I look forward to hearing what you have to say about Shane's conversation. And we look forward to chatting with Shane again in the future. Hopefully, you know, hopefully not. I hope Shane gets to a point where he's so big he can't talk to us. But I would, you know, I love everything he's doing, and his music is some of my favorite right now. So I don't want to take up too much time. I want you guys to enjoy the episode. So without further ado, again, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. I am so thankful for y'all. Without further ado, here it is, Mr. Shane Smith. Artists, friends, local friends, and anybody looking for a little bit of Nashville here in Central Mass, come check out Off the Rails in Worcester. You can go see their website, offtherailsworcester.com. They have their restaurant menu. They have their venue schedule. Go check them out. Real good friends of ours here at the show. You don't want to miss out on this place, offtherailsworcester.com. Again, restaurant, a little taste of Nashville, and a great music scene. Come check it out. Shane Smith.
Hey, hey. Thanks. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, on this? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Cool. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
So, we were talking a little before this started, and I first saw you not long ago next door open for Whiskey Myers. Yeah. And it was the first show of the tour for you guys.
Yeah, you're totally right. I was trying to remember which night that was that we were up here, but you're totally right. Yeah. I think it was like the first.
It was your first stop on the tour, and you know, it was
Nashville, right?
Yeah. It was one of those things where, you know, I'd heard about you. I've heard about you guys. Had listened to a couple of songs here and there. Didn't go in knowing much about you, mm-hmm. and I gotta say, you guys got off the stage and I could have left, because it was that, like, for me, that made the entire night.
Wow, well, thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, we stayed for Whiskey Myers, obviously, and they were great. But for sure. You know, I was standing in that crowd, and, you know, shoulder to shoulder with everybody, because the house was packed that night, and it blew me away. I've never seen a direct support have everybody in the audience sing all of your words back to you. Mm-hmm. It was like, I'm like thinking about it now, and I'm getting chills.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. Yeah, we're just like, so grateful to get to even be on that tour. You know, it's like, that was the first time we've ever been asked by a band, especially like somebody like Whiskey that we've looked up to for so many years. And yeah, we've seen them for such a long time, you know, come up from small venues all the way up to, you know, these amphitheaters and things that they're headlining now. And we were just thankful to get the opportunity to do it. It started in April and went all the way through August, technically October. We did two or three more shows with them in October on the same tour. But I mean, it was like 50 something shows, I think. Yeah. It's just huge for us. You know, we weren't used to playing that size of venues, especially in all these markets that some of them we hadn't hit. Like, throughout the years we've definitely cut our teeth, and toured a significant amount, probably like 40 something states on our own. But you got to remember, those are also playing in bars to, you know, hardly anybody. Right. And it's a tough way of doing it. But whenever you get an opportunity like that with Whiskey, where it's like several thousand at least every single night, yeah, if not sold out, large amphitheaters, like, it's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy, you know.
Now, before you had played with them here, had you guys ever been up this way before?
I want to say so last November we played our first show in Boston.
Okay.
And it was trying to remember, there's probably like 300-400 people there or something that. And anyways, yeah, so that was the first time I think we had played up there. And then obviously we did that with them, and now we're coming back this time, and this show sold out, I think, within like a month or something of announcing.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, when this tour was announced, I saw that you were coming here. It was like an excitement, but an also like, you know, seeing you at the Palladium, you know, in front of all those people, with all those people singing back to you. It was like, you know, this room is great, and we have a great partnership with Off the Rails. But it was like, damn, they could be in a bigger room. You know, it's like, well, I want them to be in a bigger room.
No, man, well, maybe.
You know, but I also love that you're in a,
exactly, in a small room. Exactly. That's the thing. Like, we just got to, you know, knock this one out, see what opportunities we get, you know, next time around. We're just glad to be back up, really.
Yeah. Now, before you were Shane Smith and the Saints, and you were grinding and doing all that, have you always been Shane Smith and the Saints, or were you by yourself for a little while?
No, I was definitely by myself for a good little while. So I graduated high school at Kauffman High School in between Dallas and Tyler. And by that point, I had a buddy of mine, Tom Rogers, that was in 4-H and FFA and involved with those you know, events, and they would have like these district like chapter meetings and things, and he and I would be there like quote unquote entertainment for those. And we would just song swap and play Robert Earl Keen songs and Randy Rogers songs and, you know, whatever. And so that's kind of where it first started for me in terms of like writing music and and trying to trying to figure it out. And then went on to Tyler Junior College, and I was there for 2 years. And that was the first time that I recorded any kind of music. There's a great dude named Bob Gentry, and Tyler used to play bass for Tom Jones back in the 70s. And he has a home studio in Tyler, and he kind of, you know, helped me out and, you know, gave me an opportunity to record an album when I didn't necessarily have the funds to record a full-length album. And not given, it was like a singer-songwriter thing, but it's called I'll See the Miles. And and those were like the first songs that I'd written, mm-hmm. essentially. And they were pretty bad, but some of them were okay. And anyways, but he did a great job with that. And I think recording that was kind of what gave me a little bit of steam from like friends back home, sure. and my brothers and their friends, because they heard it and they were like, oh, this sounds, you know, like your voice sucks, but you're, you know, the music sounds okay, you know. And so anyways, I think that's what gave me a little bit of encouragement to like, okay, well, you know, I'm gonna keep trying to do this. And and I moved to Austin, like, I think summer 2000, what would this have been, 9, and so I moved to Austin, then immediately went down to South Texas for that summer. My best friend Cody's family had a ranch down there. It was like a deer breeding operation, and for like really huge, like trophy deer. And so I went down there and worked on that ranch with him. And, you know, that gave me like a summer of opportunity of like trying to write a ton, and just kind of be, you know, be out on just open land a lot. Yeah. And you know, there's something that's just awesome with that. And I think that kind of helped me,
yeah.
then catapult to the next thing. And then a couple years of acoustic shows,
yeah, yeah.
eventually met Bennett, our fiddle player in Austin. Then it was he and I doing acoustic shows, and then it was me, him, and a guitar player, you know, and yeah, it just yeah. kind of like added to that. And over time, you know, there's a band.
Sure. Now that makes a lot of sense, you know, for anybody that's listening or anybody that knows, you know, your songs. You know, you're one hell of a storyteller. And, you know, hearing that story about you being on a ranch, you know, you listen to your songs and the stories you tell, like a lot of it makes sense. You know, it really makes sense. You know, I talk to people from all over the place, and, you know, and the songs they write, you know, a lot of it reflects where they've come from. And I haven't heard songs written the way you write them, I think, ever in my entire life.
Huh, that's, you know, interesting.
It's like listening to a story.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I think that this is with anybody, but, like, I think you go through, like, there's ebbs and flows, and you go through phases and things like that. And I was so massively influenced and inspired by songwriters like Adam Carroll,
yeah.
Ray Wiley Hubbard, Hayes Carl, Ryan Bingham, especially, like, his very beginning, like, first, you know, he had an album before Mescalito came out that, you know, that whole summer I was at that ranch, like, we were listening to that, like, every day, and listening to all these other guys, and you know, Guy Clark, and just all these people that, I honestly, I'd have to say, like, Adam Carroll was probably the biggest one, though, for me. It's, hardly anybody knows who he is, but, like, a lot of songwriters know who he is, and there's a reason for that. It's, I mean, he's just, he has a way with his words and telling stories in such a genuine, like, folk kind of way, yeah. that is so real to me. And anyways, I think I was just, like, so inspired by that kind of music that I just wanted to try to tell stories a lot. And honestly, it kind of, like, hurt us early on,
yeah.
and we couldn't gain much traction, because, like, telling stories don't necessarily, like, you know, get spins on Spotify, right. and things like that.
Sure.
You know, but there was a wisdom to it that a lot of older people really appreciated, and yeah. a lot of, like, people older than me, oddly enough, were, like, kind of drawn to it. And
yeah.
When I would play it at songwriter events or open mic nights, there would always be, like, adults would come up to me and be like, man, like, what is up? Like, right. what are you doing?
Right.
And
what kind of life have,
like,
you had?
Like, yeah. And, and, you know, the thing was, I was just listening to just incredible storytellers and songwriters at that time. And I think I've gotten a little bit away from that, but I think that it's going to be one of those deals where it just ebbs and flows.
Yeah,
there's
going to
be years where I'm just, like, I'm doing that type of thing, and then there's going to be years where I'm doing stuff that's just, like, more musically strong and powerful and something that would just crush at a show, a live show, you know. And but then there's also going to be phases that where I'm back on the stories and trying to, you know, trying to articulate, you know, my own version of things that I've gone through or have friends or family that have gone through. And, you know, even like Right Side of the Ground, like that's a great example of me like trying to find a meeting in the middle type of thing, because there's still a total story to that that's goes back with, you know, one of my brothers and like relationship things that he had gone through and you know, just like being cheated on and stuff like that. And like, you know, there's a story to that, but there's also such like a massive it's like so many people have gone through that, you know. Everybody's had relationship issues, everybody's had, you know, hard times with relationships, and being able to have like a chorus that just like brings a lot of that stuff together in a very broad way. You know, that's like that middle ground that I think I like, I love the most is, you know, if it's something that I'm writing or my wife and I are writing or me and one of the guys are working on, like it pretty much has to be something that I know what it's talking about. If I don't understand what it's, you know, like I have a really hard time covering songs unless I can really like translate it in a way to where it's like I totally feel what this is about, and
that makes sense.
And this is the way I feel it. And but for the longest time, like it, you know, it's like I've had the opportunity to record other songs in the studio, and we've done that I think once or twice. It's once I think where I recorded a song that on an album that I didn't write. And it was called Last Train to Heaven. Incredible song on the Hail Mary record. I had such a hard time recording it because I was like, it's like, well, what's this about? Like, what's this like? And it's like, it doesn't matter. Sing the songs, you moron. You know, like, what are you talking about? It's like, I don't, for some reason, I just like, I could not get on board with it. And I, you know, finally just got to know it a little better. And then we recorded it. It sounded great. Sounded huge. But even still, like now it shows we don't really play it hardly. And I think it's like subconsciously, I have so much muscle memory of writing stuff that came directly from
you,
something I went through or something my family or friends went through. And it means something really powerful to me. And so, you know, that's something I think I got to get better at, but it's also a trait in a way, I think, in terms of, you know, I think a lot of fans like that.
Yeah.
You know, that type of ideology.
Of course. Now, I know, you know, everybody's got the Yellowstone fever. And obviously we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, good, bad, and different, right?
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, no. So how much time, you know, we're going to get to it, but how much time goes from you starting your singer, songwriter, music adventure to Yellowstone? Also, don't forget our friends over at hogwashandrhinestones.com. Our good friend Ray is the owner over there. She makes incredible clothing that you've seen all over the place, from Nashville to Boston to everywhere in between. Some really big names have worn her stuff. That's hogwash, the letter N, rhinestones.com. Check them out. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. You won't be disappointed. Check them out. Hogwashandrhinestones.com. Hey, everyone. Don't forget to check out our friends over at theafterglowboutique.com. That's theafterglowboutique.com. Or if you're local, they have a great shop at 43 Main Street in Blackstone, Massachusetts. All Boots and Whiskey podcast listeners get 20% off at checkout with the promo code Boots. That's BOOTS at checkout for 20% off at theafterglowboutique.com. Check them out. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you.
Let me think about this. Because when was the first time it was aired? 2021, I guess. 2021. November of last year.
Yeah.
And I probably started writing in 2005, 2006, something like that.
So quite some time.
And now given, I don't mean that I was on the road since 05 or 06, but like we were on the road since probably 2012.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I mean, almost 10 years of like really, you know.
Yeah, really
grinding. Almost, you know. Damn near destroying families and lives instead of like, you know, like being gone and trying to do it the best way we, you know, we thought, you know, and thank God we finally got with like a booking agent there at the beginning. We got with Red 11 early on and they helped us, you know, catapult to a next level and play a bunch of like Red Dirt stuff, but we were always kind of the outcast of even Red Dirt music. Yeah. You know, it was like we fit in that world, but we were also like kind of the people that everyone would kind of turn their head at a festival or something. They're like, "What the hell is this?" Right. Like, I just don't get it. And some people just straight up are like, "I don't get this." Yeah. You know,
you're playing at 11 a.m. when the headliners,
and we're like, you know, opening for whoever, Kevin Fowler, or like, you know, all these great guys, you know, but like musically we don't, it's not necessarily the same. And but you know, to go back to your initial question, I want to say it was about 10 years probably of really trying.
Now I think everybody knows right now from you guys being on Yellowstone and getting all the shouts, and you know, the last year for you guys have been huge. It's been absolutely incredible to see. A couple of days ago, you know, from where we're talking, you guys posted, I think it was Friday. It must have been Friday. 2 days meeting. Yeah. Now, this is going to come out not this week, but next week. So episode 2 of season 5 will have already come out. Can you tell us whether or not you're in... songs of yours are in season 5?
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and it's... yeah. I mean, it's...
if you can't tell me much, that's fine.
No, we've got... I want to say three of them are awesome. In the... Yeah. And it's just one of those things, like, what you're initially saying, like, you know, you do this for a pretty significant period of time without any placement on anything. You know, it's like, you know, we could have been placed on like a soap opera or something, like anything, like give us anything. We never got anything. Right. And then you have like Taylor Sheridan and Avon from Paramount and Yellowstone. And, last season they featured All I See Is You. And then, you know, turns out he names the entire episode All I See Is You. Yeah. And then the episode airs and he says our name, and then it's like this slogan with Shane Smith and the fucking Saints in the episode. And then, you know, so it's like that. Thank you very much. That like just catapulted this whole deal that we had never experienced before. Yeah. And we're just so grateful for it. And now this next season is coming around and it's like, he's like right back at it, and they're, I like, obviously, I'm biased to this, but like even if we weren't featured in this, like, and I thought this before, for however many seasons before where we weren't featured on that show, like I have such a deep respect for him just for the fact that he is just trying to showcase talent that would never get showcased if it wasn't for him just holding the cards of that show and all the shows he works on, you know? And there's such a cool independence to like what they're doing on that show. And he's such a good writer as well. And I don't know. I just, there's no other show I'd rather be featured on. They literally, I mean, if this is going to air by the time it's already out, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, like they flew us up to Montana, to Missoula to film back in May, and we're in the first episode. Like, awesome. We're playing at the ranch, like performing on the show. Yeah.
So you guys have nothing against anybody else, but you guys have taken Whiskey's spot from season 1.
Yeah, essentially, they're doing the bar.
Is it the same kind of thing?
He's doing a very similar thing to like what he did with whiskey in the first season. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
and it's just like you. It's amazing. Yes,
that's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
that really is.
Yeah, and so it's still so mind-boggling for us. And like, and since then we've started doing pretty much different events for him and for Paramount and for Yellowstone and stuff. We just went and did a Paramount retreat with like all the execs and like some of the cast members of the show and got to hang out with all them and perform for them up in Montana a couple nights ago. And it's just, it's wild. But it's like couldn't be more thankful. And especially like we just put out the song Fire in the Ocean. That's one of the ones that gets featured.
That's awesome.
It's like, you know, what better timing could you ask for for stuff like that? So
that's great, Shane. You know, I'm even from the last time I saw you in April till now, like it seems you're like a whole different band. You know, you're not, but you know, the recognition, the catapult into, you
that's
know,
the thing, man. That's what's so weird about it. It's like we're still doing the exact same thing that we've been doing for a decade or whatever, but it's just crazy, it's very eye-opening to what like bands on major labels and people that take that route, like what they automatically oftentimes get the opportunities like that, and we've just never had that before. And we're still totally independent, and you know, we have like great distribution set up, we have great you know, publicity set up, radio set up, all of these elements, booking, but we're still independent from any label. It's still Geronimo West, which is what my wife and I started when, before there was even a band involved. We like set it all up and we ran it as a label, like, and did it ourselves.
That's awesome.
And that's what so many young musicians and you know, artists are doing these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, I talk to independent artists all the time, and for them, it's the only way to do it. You know, I've talked to people that have been on labels that have been dropped.
And there's nothing wrong with being on a label. It's wonderful. Like, even like Myron, they're opening up for us this whole run, and like they're on, I can't remember which label it was, but it's a great label, like a well-known label, and I think their headquarters are New York or somewhere, and you know, those guys, like, he was telling me, he was like, man, like, you know, I was a welder, like, so-and-so was a roofer, so-and-so was a this. It's like, we couldn't do this unless somebody was going to pony up and give us the cash to be able to get out and pursue music as a job. And he was like, I'm so grateful. And I think that's so cool to, like, because labels, you know, for a long time, like, labels have definitely like gotten the upper hand and have been a part of like bad stories for a bunch of artists, but at the same time they're the reason why people get a shot at it, and you got to respect that and give them credit for, you know, taking such a big risk, because it's such a risk, you know. It's like being a label to restaurants, you know. Can you imagine how many restaurants just fail, you know? And it's like you're taking a huge risk by funding this act. And so I don't know, I think there's two sides to it, and I think it's awesome that bands get the opportunities they get through labels, but I also think it's equally as awesome that we live in a day and age where they're not the only gatekeepers. And that's the cool thing to me, is like you can do this however you want. You just might have to work
a little
your
harder,
ass off,
right.
You know.
Like the fans have kind of taken a lot back too, you know, with Spotify and Apple. You know, we have the opportunity to find what we want to find rather than what, you know, country radio wants us to listen to, or you know, whatever the case may be. You know, because that's how this show started, where I was on Spotify listening to independent artists that I had stumbled across, and I was like, wow, this song's a lot better than whatever Luke Bryan's putting out this week, you know? And I was like, isn't there more to this? And went down the rabbit hole, and it was like, shit, there's a ton of...
But, and that's the other thing, is like Luke Bryan, for example, and like Florida Georgia Line, all these guys. It's like, I think it's great that they're doing what they do. I just, at the same time, it's like, there's so much good music that never gets to see the light of day, right. You know, and it's like, I just wish that there was a subcategory of like, you know, just let it be pop country, right. Let it be country, pop country, whatever, and give those sub genres like an opportunity to be heard, because right now it's like, you know, even like Zach Bryan, you know, he's a good buddy, and he's been just crushing it lately, and you know, it's like even he has like such a hard time getting on like major radio, and he's like one of the highest streamed artists there is on Spotify right now. But maybe like especially in country or folk or Americana or whatever you want to call it. It's like, why the hell is he not getting a song on the radio here and there? And it's like Cody Johnson. Cody Johnson, we're so bros with all those guys. And we used to cut our teeth with them in Vans, like, years. You know, like, open for him at the Wormy Dog in Oklahoma City to nobody. You know, it's like, those guys should have been famous 6 years ago.
Right.
Easily.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and they already are. They're selling more tickets than most any major country acts are doing. Same with Zach, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, he's selling more tickets than probably nearly any of them. And I don't know. I just think it's – that's the part of it that's still so tough. The whole gatekeeper thing is like, man, good music's good music, and if it's getting that kind of recognition on like the largest streaming platforms in the universe,
You gotta get
and you're still not playing their stuff, clearly this is crooked, and it's like, you know, or like someone's getting paid, and we're not paying. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's definitely a hole in the boat, and I don't know what the solution is to it. Honestly, it might just be, you know, radio's choice of like, do you want to continue to keep living as radio, you know, or do you want to die out and let streaming platforms take you over? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I sure
literally
do.
Like, because I love radio. Radio helped us, you know, in Texas so much. Like 95.9 The Ranch, shout out to those guys, to Coke FM, to all these people that gave us radio play when nobody would. And that's the way it should be. It should be like, look, we respect what you're doing. We see how hard you're working, and your music is really good. And so, like, we're gonna support that and push that. But right now, the way it works is, you know, from what I've understood, it's like very major labels will, you know, send a lot of these program directors on retreats and like on vacations and things like that every year. And then all of a sudden, they're in. And so when they push a new artist, it's like, hey, we're gonna need this played like heavy rotation, like so and so. And guess what happens? Like they get played, and that's kind of like, I don't know, these younger generations coming up like really seem to not put up with bullshit, and I think that's like one of those things that's going to get called out, and it's already been talked about so much, but like, you know, my direct examples are like Cody and Zach and all these guys, and
I've been listening.
Even Co can't get, you know, he cusses a lot, but like,
but that's,
you know,
that's he's just,
you know, even he, and like, I'm not saying he's like traditional country, but he's like, he's more country than most of the shit I hear, you know, it's like, it's like, come on, man, like, these guys are selling out, like, big places, and you're not, and you're still playing people that can't push, like, you know, 1,000 tickets in Nashville, you know, or whatever, it's like, what? It doesn't make sense.
We were able to see Cody this year, even though he wasn't coming up here. He stopped in Albany, and Drew Parker was opening for him. And we've become close with some of the people in his band. And we were asked to come out, and it was like, it was probably one of the greatest shows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why can't you come a state over? And, you know, he's coming here in 23, but, you know, it's like, God.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. You know, it's kind of like with you guys. You know, I have a feeling, you know, seeing what you guys are doing and where you're going, you know, you guys are going to be across the street in the big arena before too long.
Well, I hope you're right. That would be cool. But we just got to, you know, I'm pretty hardwired to just, like, just tell the guys. Like, the other night we were doing that a Paramount deal, and with some of the cast, and one of the guys came up to me and was like, dude, what – is life right now? Like, what is happening? Or just so, and I was like, dude, just keep your head down and keep moving forward. Like, you know, we just, we got to, yeah, we cannot get caught up or whatever. It's like, we've been doing this for such a long time and we just got to keep working.
Yeah.
And I think with that mentality, you, it might be 1 inch at a time, but you keep moving. And that's, is one of those career paths that's hard enough to where you have to stick to that a lot of times. Yeah. And in order for it to eventually work out.
Yeah. Well, Shane, you know, I could literally talk to you for the rest of the day because I have so many things we could talk about. But it's show day and I appreciate you more than you really probably ever will understand. But I do have two questions.
Yeah.
Boots and whiskey of choice.
Boots of choice, Tecovas. Whiskey of choice would probably be, oh, Bennett's going to hate me for saying this. I should say Woodford Reserve for Bennett, but, honestly, I'm pretty trashy I'm not saying this is a trashy whiskey, but for some reason, I really, really like Wild Turkey.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never had it.
And I fly Southwest like all the time, and that's their whiskey of choice. Oh, the CEO, I guess, loved Wild Turkey, okay, and I'm like, my man. You know, like, I really love Wild Turkey.
Yeah.
I also, there's a whiskey company out of Texas. There's two of them out of Texas that they've really supported us, and I really do love their stuff. One of them is Ben Milam Whiskey out of Blanco, Texas, and that's Marsha Milam's company, and it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 100% like female run and operated. Oh, nice. Like, and she kicks ass. And and then there's also Rebecca Creek Whiskey.
Okay.
And Steve and all those guys outside of San Antonio. That stuff is awesome. Yeah. As well. And those guys actually gave us our first opportunity. You talk about, like, you know, getting some kind of backing to get a foot forward. There's a festival that goes on in Steamboat, Colorado, called Steamboat Music Fest. Before Bennett and I could ever get on that festival, I begged Rebecca Creek Whiskey to pay for like 1,000 of these promo CDs to be made when the album Coast was coming out, and it featured like 4 of the songs on it. And Bennett and I just brought our own PA up there, hitched a ride up there with somebody else, and we played like on the mountain for literally, we would set up at 11 in the morning, we would end at like 7 at night.
That's
and
awesome.
It was I think it was like, you know, 6 degrees outside on some of the, you know, it was freezing cold outside. But we would play all day and hand out these CDs, and that was 100% those guys, you
That's
know.
Awesome.
And so I got, you know, if we're talking whiskey, I have to say, you know, how much we still appreciate that. You know, fans still come up to me and talk about that. Like, I still have your promo CD, man, from when y'all were – we would leave them at gas pumps and stuff. Like, every gas stop we would stop at, we'd be, like, leaving them on, like, truckers, like, you know, foot footsteps or whatever, like, of their rigs.
Cool.
It's hilarious.
But I love it.
Yeah.
Well,
grassroots, baby.
Yeah, hell yeah. Well, I appreciate you so much.
Yeah,
and I look forward to the show tonight and you know, talking down the road.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Yeah. We'll talk again.
Thanks, man. Right,
cheers. Have a good one.
You too. Of course, we can't forget our friends at the Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company out of Canada. That's drsupplyco.com. They have great stuff. All of the hats I pretty much wear, all the camo hats you see me wear either on TikTok or in pictures and whatnot, all come from the Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company. A big thank you to those guys out there. drsupplyco.com. Check them out. Canadian company. Great stuff. Check them out. Well, there you have it. Shane Smith. Absolutely incredible. Thank you again, Shane. I know you're feeling a little under the weather, and I probably made you talk way more than your team would have liked, and I'm sure you would have liked, but I appreciate it wholeheartedly. So again, if you don't know Shane Smith, go out, fucking find their music. Shane Smith and the Saints, they're out of Texas. You don't want to sleep on these guys, because they're like a millimeter away from being the next big thing. I'm telling you. you know, and go check out Yellowstone if you haven't already. If you haven't and you're listening to country music podcasts, I don't know what the hell you're doing. Other than, I don't know. I have no idea what the hell you're doing. But yeah, go check it out. And, you know, follow Shane, do all that stuff. You know, it's, you're not messing up. So you're not messing up. You know, next week we have Drew Holcomb on the show, an Americana singer-songwriter out of Nashville. You're not going to want to miss that. I've been a huge fan of Drew for many, many years. So he was kind enough to come on this show, and I appreciate it wholeheartedly. But yeah, I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy your families. Enjoy your time together. And we'll see you back here next week. And until then, keep the boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass, guys. Cheers.